from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home. I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
Good evening to everyone. Thank you for tuning in. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. And tonight I'm starting a 4-week series. I pray it will be so. Because sometimes I'll set the time, but I don't realize it's gone beyond. Because the information is far more than you can control within 4 weeks. So I'm starting this evening. And yes, let me start with the news first. Because of this, the news is truncated. I'll just talk about 3 news items this evening and then we'll progress with it so that I have more time for the talk, the discussion itself. And I believe it's very important. The world is getting darker and darker every day. And the focus of the enemy is to destroy the family system. First and foremost, destroy the marriage or marriages, destroy the children, you know, and the fabric of society revolves around this. So if you want to destroy the society, that's it. You start from the foundation, which is the family system. And once you get the family system broken and destroyed, society is destroyed. So go to the prisons. Most of the people there, according to some years back, someone did a survey, majority of the people there are coming from broken homes. The hardened criminals, the middle-level criminals, or the first-timers criminals. Broken home is the effect of a lot of the criminals in prison. So, in effect, it's difficult for someone from a stable home to engage in some type of lifestyles, some type of crimes, and all that. You see, it's very unfortunate what we are seeing now in our society, a lot of divorces and all. It's all a scheme of the enemy to break the system. But then, the children are the offshoot of the effects of these things. They are really, the impact really gets to them the most when families are broken and scattered and all that, the children. But now there's a trend that is going on which makes it a bit more worrying and disturbing, in the sense that you have children who are from a good home, a Christian home, all right, but then they begin to live and exhibit some lifestyles which you would wonder, where from this? How come we didn't see this? And it's like parents are caught off guard. They have no idea something is happening. Their child is in something, extreme lifestyles and something that, I was told by someone once that there are some SHS boys who own cars, but their parents don't even know. So they have cars, but their parents have no idea. By the lifestyle they lead, the gangs they've joined, the cults they've joined, they'll be able to acquire cars as part of their rewards or whatever. So they keep it somewhere else. They go home, it's normal, good boy, good girl. But they are a complete something else. There are no words to describe who they are when they leave home. See, all these things are happening. So this evening we'll be talking about it. But then let me just talk briefly about the three news items. The world, it's now a crazy place, how to put it. This war that is going on, their so-called peace, it's just a short-term thing. They will go back to the bombings again. America, they run out of things, so they intentionally peace, whilst they restock. I listened to this podcast of retired U.S. soldiers, like experts who are no longer in service. And when they talk about some things, you listen to it and it's like, they said the C-17 is like, that's the main cargo planes they use in the military. The number of cargo that they are moving back to the Middle East, they are restocking. So when they are fully stocked, because when I saw President Trump's statement today that they may end, the peace talks or the peace agreement, when it expires, they may not continue, but they will continue the bombing. I say, they are getting there. When they are fully set to go to round two, they will start the bombings again. This world is something else. So let's just look at these three news items briefly. And then, so greetings to the listeners, wherever they are, outside the country, outside the region, within the region. Deborah, greetings to you. I've seen your message. You are listening. Okay, thank you. All right. So let's get moving. We have, so Trump admin monitoring prosecution of UK pastor for preaching John 3:16 in UK. The US government is monitoring the prosecution of a 77-year-old, why waste time on him to prosecute him for what? 77-year-old Northern Ireland pastor Clive Johnston, who was charged under British buffer zone legislation for preaching an open-air sermon on John 3:16 near a hospital that provides abortion services. Johnston, a retired pastor from Strabane, who once served as president of the Association of Baptist Churches in Ireland, is on trial at Coleraine Magistrates Court on two charges under the Abortion Services Safe Access Zones Act, according to the Telegraph. A second day of hearings is set for Wednesday. If convicted, the grandfather of seven faces a criminal record and a fine of up to £2,500. He has never been in trouble with the law and the police, according to the Christian Institute, which is supporting him in the case. The sermon was delivered on July 7, 2024, on a patch of grass separated from Coleraine's Causeway Hospital by a dual carriage highway, About a dozen people attended the service, which included hymn singing and a wooden cross. Johnston preached on John 3:16, which reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Court papers do not allege that Johnston mentioned abortion during the sermon, and no abortion placards or banners were present. He is accused of seeking seeking to influence people accessing the hospital's abortion services and of failing to leave the area when asked by the police. He is not accused of impeding or harassing anyone. when you hear or you read some of these, cases where somebody stands near abortion hospital or clinic and is praying silently and is arrested, and yet some people block highways. They block roads that cars access, and they block it and pray, and that one is fine. But somebody stands silently somewhere in the corner and prays, but that one is a crime. Then it tells you the world has turned upside down, indeed. And that's the world. UK, I don't have time for them today to talk much about. So we go to Wales. Church of Wales, or Church in Wales, Church in Wales votes to make same-sex blessings permanent. Okay. The Church in Wales governing body has voted to make same-sex blessings permanent following a 5-year trial period. So they had time to also try it. In which they were allowed on a temporary basis. The votes during the meeting in Llandudno on Thursday is likely to lead some Welsh Anglicans to leave the denomination or seek alternative episcopal oversight. The motion makes the blessings permanent by incorporating a right for the blessing of same-sex marriages and partnerships in the Book of Common Prayer. It passed overwhelmingly. The measure needed a 2/3 majority of each of the orders, which comprise the governing body, bishops, clergy, and laity. All 5 bishops voted in favor. The clergy voted 32-7 in favor. At least the clergy, there are 7 pastors who are correct spiritually, with 5 abstentions. And then the laity, 48-8 in favor, with 2 abstentions. The vote comes as little surprise given the denomination's recent appointment of Cherry Van as the first openly gay Archbishop of Wales. Oh, okay. Any upon if the Archbishop himself is a member, then nothing good can come out of that church any longer. The Archbishop is gay, and they still call it a church. They should just, Sometimes, I wonder the Bible that they use. I wonder what they define as following Christ. It's just like you set questions for yourself and you say that you've examined yourself. You set your own questions and you mark yourself and you are happy that yes, you are doing well. That's how these people are treating Christianity. They've set their own standards of Christianity and they've defined what is good as Christians, what God should like is what, yes, they say is right. What they say God should like, they are forcing God to like it. So as to whether God likes it or not, well, that one they don't care, but they say God should like it. So God indeed must like it and God is liking it. So they are fine with it. This is their definition of Christianity. This is their definition of following Christ. So you have a church that has been in existence for centuries. And the question is, what has happened? All these centuries, this thing never existed until now. So when the predecessors, early fathers of these churches were subscribing strictly to the ethics of the Bible, what was wrong with them? They were doing the right thing. And now this modern day leaders say that same Bible that the founders of the church depended on, that Bible is wrong. Portions of that Bible should be changed to suit their lifestyles. You know, I have a firm belief that most of the time when you see these news items and pastors are voting for LGBT and all that, those who vote for it, behind the scenes, something is not right. Because I don't see how you would want to vote for such a thing and say that you are you are fine. Oh, no, something is wrong spiritually, and possibly there's an interest in that lifestyle somewhere. Because for you to align with it alone raises a number of questions. But that's what we are seeing. That's what we are hearing. Anyway, quickly to the last news item. I mean, because I really want to have time for the discussion. So, news, no, today is short. I won't go much into it. But then this one is, this headline is the Pope sanctifying Europe's surrender to Islam? I like the headline. This was Prophecy Watch. When I saw it, I said, you know, is the Pope sanctifying Europe's surrender to Islam? Because, you know, this week he and Donald Trump, they're back and forth and all that. I didn't want to spend time on it. So, but then this article, I'm just reading the first paragraph, then I leave it. And you have an idea and think about it yourself. I mean, while the Pope attacks America for waging war against Islamists, he fails to attack Islamists for their persecution and murder of Christians. He said instead that people should be a little less fearful of Islam. And this week said that Islam is a religion of peace we can learn from. This is what the Pope said. And the backlash has been quite extensive. But think about it yourself. He said people should be less fearful of Islam. And then this week too, he has said that Islam is a religion of peace we can learn from. He would have to explain to us a whole lot of things. He would have to explain this one, as they say in the recent parlance, go explain Taya. He has a lot to explain the statements he's made. Oh, yes, he said we should be less. So, but, you know, the back and forth of this whole thing is very interesting. When you have religious leaders sometimes go this way, but, well, okay. So, I have a guest here. She will introduce herself. Then we will start. There, okay, all right. Just briefly before she settles. Okay, so I'm reading this verse to start from this. Yeah. 2 Samuel 13. It's one part of the Bible that is, you know, recently for those on my broadcast list. Yes, before I proceed with that, some were complaining that they don't get the broadcast messages again. WhatsApp brought a limitation on broadcast lists, so I'm not able to. The list is quite extensive. My list is so. Normally, I have 6 broadcast lists that I send the devotions to every morning and all that. But the list, you have only 35 limits per month. So by the time I send, during the week, I exhausted my limits of 35. So the suggestion they gave was I should create a channel. So if you pick your phone, you open WhatsApp, you see the middle, you have updates, you have chats, the bottom parts, you have updates, you know, chats, updates, and calls. So if you go to the updates, then search for spirits or issues of life. Search for issues of life on Spirit 88. Or if you start typing it, it will even show. So issues of life. Search for issues of life. And you see, so issues of life on Spirit 88.3 FM, sorry, the Spirit FM logo and the issues of life. So you can follow the channel, and the messages are put there every morning anyway. So you can follow the channel and then be getting the devotions from there and any other news or whatever I put there. So, I'm using the channel now instead of the broadcast list. So just search for, issues of life. When you go to the channel, issues of life, search issues of life, spirit, it's spirit, issues of life. Okay. No, you made it Spirit FM first. So, yeah. Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. How come it's not showing on yours? Missing in action on yours, eh? Okay. Wow. Okay. Search Spirit FM and let's see Spirit 88.3 FM because there's a lot of people have started following there. Spirit 88.3 FM. And Issues of Life. I mean, if you still can't find it, you send hi to me. My number 0244-638-757. After the show, I'll send you the link, channel link, to make it easier for you then. Okay. All right. But in the meantime, so please introduce yourself. You are no stranger in this house anyway.
All right, Pastor Evan. Brother Evan, I want to say
from you, I'm not a pastor. Before some people cut my head.
As well as you're a shepherd and you're a pastor. So I want to say a very good evening to your listeners and to everybody from all over the world. I'm LP Hetty. I'm a licensed professional counselor with Ghana Psychology Council. And my love for children leads me to help parents, help people build stronger children who can change the world in Christ. So this evening, I want parents to know that it's not an ordinary evening. We are going to receive insights that can take us far, especially when it comes to our children. So thank you very much, Brother Evan, for the opportunity.
All right, welcome. Okay, so I'm reading this verse, 2 Samuel 13. So we had David, Bathsheba encounter and all that as part of the consequences of it. This episode happened, which is very, very, very unfortunate. So in verse, 2 Samuel 13, verse 1. It came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. So that's a half-brother issue. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her.
Yeah.
I mean, this is quite insightful. He, in his own conscience,
he felt, I can't do anything.
He knew it was wrong to do anything. I mean, to touch her, to do anything wrong.
True.
But then verse 3 is very serious here. But Amnon had a friend. This one, guys, it's a cousin. Cousin.
Yeah.
Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother. So it's a cousin.
Exactly.
Yeah, they are cousins. Anyway, but let's take it as it is. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Very subtle. So verse 4. And he said unto him, why art thou being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed. Hey, bad advice. And make thyself sick. Fake the sickness.
Fake it.
And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I
the
pray
only
thee,
person I want.
Let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it. David will not. Didn't.
It's just nice.
I mean, brother, sister, affair. Oh, yeah. I mean, they didn't think anything harmless, something harmless, that I may see it and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. Then, the story follows. Let's skip where, he virtually raped her and then pushed her out.
After the act was done.
And this created the bitterness that Absalom
carried.
And 2 years later, plotted and killed him. But, you know, in as much as it was part of all that was set to unfold after David's, you know, affair and the four children were going to die and all that. So something had to happen for something to happen for something to happen. But some things happened which it shouldn't have happened, but it's happened. But it's happening now in our time in various ways.
Yeah.
I've heard a number of testimonies which makes me very sad, and it makes me feel very uncomfortable where you hear a child say that I was introduced into lesbianism by my class four mates. I was in class four and my friend asked me about this and taught me how to do this and that. I was in class five and my friend showed me how to do this. I mean, I keep hearing these testimonies.
It happened.
From boy's side, from girl's side. And it's very unfortunate. So the issue is, somebody introduces somebody into a lifestyle.
True.
It's rare for someone to just start a lifestyle on their own.
There's an external force.
Yes.
It's a human form. Or
clear. It's rare for somebody to just stand up and say that, today I'm going to steal. Just like that, without... I mean, except something really is pushing.
Exactly.
Or just gets up today, I'm going to fornicate, I'm going to look for a boyfriend. So a little girl just gets up today that I'm going to start chasing men 10 times my age. I mean, something initiates. Or a boy just suddenly, I want to be a gay girl, I want to be a lesbian. It's rare for just... They see it like that. They see it somewhere, and they want to try it out.
True.
Or somebody,
there's an influence,
virtually introduces them, shows them, do it this way, do that, do this. These are the tricks. These are the styles. These are the strategies to beat your parents that they will not see you. This is how to hide. This somebody tutors them. Somebody launches the whole campaign.
And even is giving a summary of everything.
Oh, yeah. So that, yes.
This is powerful.
I'm summarizing it so that then when you start flowing. So, this is why I brought LP Hetty, Lady Pastor Hetty, tonight into the studio. I mean, this week we were chatting on WhatsApp and I've already given a hint on radio that I'll bring her, but the topic, we've not discussed it.
True.
She asked me, and I said, I'll get back to her. So intention was to pray and get back.
Yeah.
Get exactly. But while I was still typing, the instruction was clear.
The Holy Spirit
was clear. We should talk about this. Start with this. Yeah. The influence on the children.
Yeah.
The negative influence on the children.
Bad friends.
Of course, there's the positive. Fine, but positive, there's good. So that one is not a problem.
Let's look at the
problem is the negative. So start from your side.
All right. So to our lovely listeners, as you listen to us in your car, at home, parents, I'm speaking to parents, I want us to know one thing. But even many parents today are worried about bad friends.
Uh-huh.
In fact, as a parent myself, I'm worried about bad friends.
Yeah.
But the truth is, bad friends are really the real problem. I want us to lay a foundation and then rebuild on it. Bad friends are really the real problem. They are usually the symptom of something deeper happening inside a child's emotional world. Children don't wake up, like you were saying, one morning and decide to follow negative influence. Nobody just gets and says, I'm going to. They follow influence when they are searching for one, belonging. 2, identity.
Yeah.
3, acceptance. 4, independence. So instead of asking, I mean, to all my lovely listeners, I mean, your lovely listeners, I want to say, instead of asking who is influencing my child, parents must also begin to ask, what is my child looking for? This evening, I want parents to ask, I want us to ask ourselves this question. What is my child looking for? If you feel your child is currently following bad friends, or you feel your child is negatively being influenced, ask yourself that question. Now, why am I saying you should ask yourself? Because influence enters through an emotional opening. The moment there's a gap emotionally, then influence in whatever form, like you mentioned, whether positive or negative, just enters like that. Now, I want us to look at the hidden truth parents need to understand, and then we build on it. Many parents think negative influence starts in their teenage years. That is the error we make. Uh-huh. But influence actually begins from age 3, sometimes between age 3 and 5, where the child learns to play with others. So the moment children begin forming friendships, they begin learning behavior from others. So imagine you have a child. I don't know if you've experienced it before, but I mean, you are with your child in the house, at home, you go to church or you go to school, or the child goes to school, mm-hmm. comes back one day and say, oh, get away, oh, leave there. It wasn't in the child. You know how you are training your child. Yeah. It came from somewhere. It came from somewhere. So a child who never used a rude word suddenly starts using rude word because there's
head somewhere.
Exactly, like you were saying. So the behavior did not grow inside a child alone. It traveled through friendship.
A medium.
Thank you for the word. So monitoring friendships is not suspicion. I want to go there. Mm-hmm. Right from childhood. Monitoring friendship is not suspicion, it is protection. Mm-hmm. I'll be answering a lot of questions in the course of the insight. So I want parents to look at early warning signs parents should never ignore. To all my parents listening, meet with your children and speak to them. Most of the times we parents fail to have conversations with our children. I mean, we fail to have, chat with them. Parents should begin paying attention when they notice sudden changes like, 1, your child increases secrecy. Mm-hmm. Now, phone that your child will normally use in your presence or things, though, suddenly they start hiding it. In fact, just when the topic came up, I was chatting with my son in the car because for a while, I noticed he has been taking his tablet to bed. So, 2 days ago, as I said, the topic is so timely. It's like the Holy Spirit, it's actually the Holy Spirit, not like. And, when I went to their room, I saw that he had put the tablet under his pillow asleep. So, I didn't say anything. I picked the tablet and then I went to open it. Brother Eben, my child is on a class group page. I'm not aware.
Mm-mm.
Thank you very much.
In your own school?
My school. His classmates, they've created a page. And they call the page Scholars Hub.
At least name me a good one.
Name me a good. So the reason I'm using it is because it's a very good example. They call it Scholars Hub.
Wow.
And so I said, God, what is this? In fact, I shook. So I just went back. And this was like 1 a.m. thereabouts, but even I went back to the hall, sat down, and I said, let me go through the chat from the beginning. The page had existed since the end of February. I had no idea.
Which class?
Class 6.
Oh, okay.
And so going through, I noticed that not knowing homeworks they were giving, those who don't understand will come and ask, who understands? Who teach me this? Then maybe they are taught a topic and the one will research and then share. Mm-hmm. So that is what calmed me down.
At least.
At least. At least. So, and then listening to their voice note is like, mm-hmm. when they send, one sends a voice note and makes a grammatical error, then the other one will come, hey, your English is bad. Please correct it. Don't, you don't say this. Don't say that. And I said, okay. So I played and I decided I'm not going to give it to him. Mm-hmm. In fact, I hid it. So the next morning, I was going to go blast him. I was like, no, you don't do that. When did you start skipping?
Yeah.
Your, I mean, something like this for me. Then praying about it. Parents, we should really pray. Because mm-hmm. The whole key is not correction without connection built rebellion.
Mm.
So, I prayed. Then I went to stand by him and I asked, Bishop, why you have a class page and you never told me? Then he was quiet. Why? Mommy, I thought you would shout. I said, wow.
Asemaba.
Hey. So, immediately I had to tell him that, oh, okay, then I'm sorry if I gave you an impression that I'll shout. But, I mean, that was wrong. The page, I noticed that what is happening there is good. But it was wrong that I had no idea about it. We had a conversation. So, at the end of the day, he said, I'm going to share everything with you. And so, parents, one of the errors we make is when, I mean, the red flag you should notice is when they start keeping things.
Mm-hmm.
As we go on, I'll tell you reason why they do that. But my son's son is a clear example. Oh, he said, I thought you would shout. Probably, I thought you would get upset or something. Mm-hmm. That's why I hate it. And along the way, do you know that when it came out, I'll talk about that one later. So our children, when the moment you realize that your child has increased secrecy, they are hiding things, it's a red flag. Number two, defensive reactions to simple questions. So now, imagine I'd asked, why are you, oh, and he starts screaming, he starts defending, then you know that, no, there's something wrong.
Something is being hidden.
Exactly. Then number three, new language that doesn't reflect home values. But even, I saw one negative post, and the post was, the short code, short, WhatsApp, I think when they are chatting, they use a short abbreviation BRB. One of the
students. Be right back.
Thank you. TLD. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
In Jesus' name, IJ.
IJ. Think of way bad. Yeah. Even this simple, generation. Simple, okay. And the person write K. In fact, if I'm chatting with
KK, dude, okay.
Like, so the KK means okay.
Just double okay.
Oh, okay. You've touched me. As far as I thought, if you can write double K, just remove the K and put the O there. Mm. What is wrong with it anyway? So, when I saw it, in fact, I was going to talk to, but not knowing, one of the children had come back to the page and said, my brother said, this thing is wrong. So please, whoever posted it, remove it. I'm still talking about my son's page. That was the mm-hmm. negative thing I saw. One of them posted, and one of the children came to say, I said, thank God, the parents are equally monitoring.
Somebody is
monitoring, yes. So for a while, then I understood my son's speaking in a, like he'll be like slurring or,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, okay, so this is where it's coming from. Cause like, what are we watching that will make you start? Yeah. So, one negative, new language that doesn't reflect home values. Parent, let's watch it. Withdrawal from family interaction. I mean, we are all chatting, and before you know, your child has entered the room.
The room will be there.
The child will say, I'm going to the washroom. And then the child has logged himself or herself. And then you realize the child has the phone. Please, let's watch. Then sudden personality shift. Somebody who was, let's say, calm.
Is it going?
Or let's say calm. Then suddenly the person becomes so loud, so harsh, so some way.
Rude.
Somebody who is easygoing. Suddenly the person is calm, like reserved, not talking to anybody. That is another red flag we should watch.
Oh, we are going there. No, I won't go.
I want to stay home.
Yeah, that means.
That means. Thank you. Thank you. There's something wrong. Another one is the hiding phone activity, which I mentioned. And then the other one, rejecting long-standing rules. I mean, I think some time back I came and I was like, you should have family rules. Have something that will guide. And yet, how do you call it? policing or militarying your children, but oh, everybody knows that this family
standard.
There's a standard.
That's how we do things.
Exactly. Yeah. This is how we do things so that the children can. So the moment you realize that, no, this child, this is how we do things, but the child is changing, then you should know that there's a red flag. So secrecy is usually the first language of negative influence.
Yes, true.
The first language. Now, what at what stage or age should parents monitor their children's friendships? Parents often, I mean, I've had a lot of parents asking me, at what age should I monitor my child? Should I start, asking my child's friendship? Monitoring should begin, Brother Eben, as soon as children start building regular friendships. That's why I say usually from age three, between age three and five. Monitor their friendships. Seriously.
The world has turned upside down.
I'm telling you, if don't let anybody destroy your what God has given you, because you ask. Monitoring does not mean controlling. It means knowing who your child spends time with. One, observing behavior changes after play, noticing emotional reactions, and staying involved in your child's social world. So friendship monitoring is not control. It is actually guidance.
It's important.
Very important.
Because now, I use the term satanic ambassadors who are in schools with the sole mandate of destroying. I mean, I've heard of instances of children in primary school, so this is not JHS or SS.
Even preschool.
Who are virtually agents. Like, they are the ones teaching people how to do some bad things.
So very true.
They get close to you. They teach you, like, recruitment, evangelism.
Yes. Oh, yes.
They win a soul into this lifestyle. They move on to the next person.
Easily.
So one person, by the time you say Jack, one person has turned everybody in the class into something.
Into something else.
So these are satanic agents in schools on a mission to destroy.
I'm telling you, there was this story of a child who was delivered from what you were saying, lesbianism. I mean, when she was in class two, I mentioned it. Her classmate introduced her to lesbianism, took her to the washroom and told her, this is how you do it.
Class two.
Class two. So class like 7 years.
Eight, 7 8.
Yes.
Eight years.
Took her to the washroom and taught, and gracefully, the child, by the grace of God, did not follow.
Rejected it, yeah.
Brother Eben, in class five, this same friend came back again.
Monitoring spirit.
Monitoring spirit.
Of a kaino.
Or sign kaino. That was when the girl entered into.
Hey, we're a super agent. This one is no agent. Super agent.
One monitor.
On the mission.
Yes. And introduce her back into it. And she did it until after senior high before she got the grace. She
so how many other girls how has many other this girls? Girl destroyed? Yeah.
We need grace and we ask the Lord that gives us the grace.
It's worrying.
Very.
You see, sorry to cut you. Yeah. When I read this portion of Amnon's case, I mean, if not for this Abinadab guy, He would not have done this raping thing. He would not.
Because he loved Tamar very much. But, I mean,
there was no evil thought.
There was no evil thought to have such a beautiful cousin. Because she's so nice.
I mean, if you read about Absalom, that means like that sibling, they were beautiful.
Very nice. Because Absalom was one fine gentleman with the long hair.
So, I mean, if not for this cousin who was evil, he would not have gone through this evil thing.
May the Lord deliver us.
So, and the influence is so serious. How
it is.
Just one advice. One advice.
One advice. And told him how he should go about it.
And this advice led to his death.
And led to, Tamar's destruction because she's been raped.
It's
definitely people will hear. So, probably she didn't get married or she got, I don't know. Her whole life. The psychological effect forever. Because of one person. So, Brother Eben, we move on to somebody who asked, should parents check their children's phones? Yes.
No, but pause.
No, pause.
Pause on the 4-1 there. 4-1 there, let me say it as it say is. It. Until your child is in tertiary, do not buy a phone for them. They don't need the
phone. They don't need it.
If it's for some, oh, now we have to call and know what is happening at home, that one, a young phone will serve that purpose perfectly. It has done it for years. And it will still do it. So, as for if it's about communication, YAM is there. It's even cheap. I have a lot of old phones. So, please, those old phones, you just don't give it to them.
That's don't children will not be excited them. About this.
Oh, yeah. The harm, I mean, I'm doing a number of research. I'm writing... Digital slavery.
Yeah, ish.
And so I'm doing a lot of research.
Yeah.
And it's worrying. The statistics I'm seeing is very bad. Alarming. Now the neuroscience reports are so damning about the effects on.
Yeah.
You see, even it's affecting adults. Yes, but for the children, the brain formation. It's not fully complete until around 21. Yes. So far as the brain is still being formed, if it's not well structured in the information flow,
you just destroyed
it. You are causing, and now what you are seeing in our society, the youth anxiety, the attention span that they are struggling with, the phone is the cause of all these things.
It is.
When you tell people, they think, oh, you are being too hard. But the issue is the harm. It's virtually irreparable in some instances.
It's better you prevent it
now, than to repair. People are committing suicide because of the phone.
Yeah.
People are committing rape because of the phone, becoming lesbians because of the phone.
Mm.
So if we say that there are a lot of red flags that this phone thing is causing, at least pay attention. And you see, if it's about giving something to the child to occupy them, then rethink. And then set time limits. And then, yes, that's where later we'll talk about it as we progress.
Yeah.
But for the phone, please, let's be careful.
Thank you, Brother Eben. So, as you said, this is going for those who have already given phones out and might have to rethink how they get their phones back. Parents should check phones, but they should do it wisely and openly.
No, no, why can you hear?
After the obey and worse.
And worse,
one can you hear?
I told you of the case that happened in the US. The boy took a gun and killed the father. The father was asleep. He took a gun, shot the father's head.
Wow.
Because the father took away.
This other one that I know, the mother took it, came back from work, and the whole house had been destroyed, and there's like a teen, like 10, 11, 12.
Serious.
Put down the television, open the fridge, remove, cut the cushion, the couch, everything. Destroyed the whole house. The mother entered and asked, it was like, why did you take my phone? Anyway, so children under age 10 should not have private phone independence. Between ages 10 and 13, phones should be monitored transparently. Children should know parents are guiding their digital space. Secret checking destroys trust. Please let me say that. Let's learn. Don't take the phone, hide it, see it, come back, screaming at the child. They will hide and do worse.
Yeah.
So as the advice has come, if you have not given your child a phone yet, please don't at all. If you've given, take these precautionary measures and then find a way to take it back.
Yeah, withdrawal strategies
like that
you deploy. Yeah.
Exactly. So open monitoring builds trust. Now by age 14 and above, parents gradually shift from checking behavior to coaching decision making. It's in an assignment instead of say, oh, monitor now, oh, yeah, you know. Now, say, I want my old coach, a crunch, and a bay, and this is she making, and you may be no, a bet, so yamini. The goal is not to control children forever. The goal is to train their judgments before the world tests them. So somebody will ask, what if a child starts hiding friendship? Speak gently. to your child. Please, when your child begins hiding friendships, that is not the time to be shouting. And no, your error you make it every time. Okay, let me not go there. When you told that line, parents, listen, your child will get worse.
More secrets.
Please don't panic if you get to know your child is hiding. It is the panic or the shock that makes us shout. That makes us because when I saw my son tablet, I saw the group page. I was shocked at that moment. I was really shocked until I read and I read. Oh, okay. Everything is powerful. Everything is beautiful. The children are helping themselves, but the parents should know. Then I got to know, okay, one of them, the parent is monitoring, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, because hidden friendships usually tell us something important. Please listen. Children hide friendships when they fear punishment. But even.
Something is not right.
They feel you punish them into mommy fancy. So there's a child in the school, or there's a child sometimes in church showing things to them, and they know mommy, daddy have said this one is not right. And they've seen how mommy or daddy behaves when they, once they open up about an issue and how they reacted. No, let me hide, because if I even go and tell them, before you know, like my son thought, mommy will shout.
Yeah.
Which is not how it's supposed to be. So, one, fear of disappointing parents. The parents see them as this. Then suddenly you come and you say, "Mommy, I've gone to see this. I'm going to do that." So they hide friendships. Uh-huh. Yeah. Or a friend who is bad, like yes, the friend introduces him or her to all these gay things, or go and watch this movie, pornography, and all those things, because they don't want to feel. They don't want their parents to get disappointed in them. They hide. And then the last one, the fear of being misunderstood. So children don't hide friendships when they feel safe talking at home. They hide friendships when they expect rejection. It's like the moment I talk about this, I might be rejected by how my parents will behave or my guardian will behave. So their parents, instead of saying, "Who is that friend?" Please, rather say, "Help me understand what makes this friendship important to you." Maybe you've suddenly noticed that your friend started working with Kofi, but in your spirit, you are not okay. Mm-hmm. Or not. Let's say let's forget about spirit. When you saw the child, you don't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And if you go and say, "Hey, who is that friend? Yeah, hey, this friend start with no. Ask, what is it about that the friendship you have with Kofi that makes him important to you?" And I get to understand from your child's perspective. Keep the communication very open. Now, what about negative influences from cousins or relatives? Like Tamar's cousin.
Yeah, so
seriously. Most times, that's where, culturally, look at where we come from. In Ghana here, your cousins are more like your brothers or sisters.
Yeah.
So now imagine, yeah, they are young, they come home to visit, and then as a parent, probably you notice something wrong, something bad with how they talk. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they are talking in their community, they'll use foul languages, forgive me, like kwasia, abua, and you know you don't use that at home.
Yeah.
But how do I tell? Most parents will be like, "Oh, when you're here," you get it. So most times you are more careful. But please listen. Being family does not automatically make influence safe.
Yeah.
I'm very particular about that. I'm very, very particular about that. Sometimes the child will go and visit. I have a parent who from one school that I managed. In fact, there was an incident in the school where his sons were engaged. His older son was engaged in touching the private part of the younger son.
Mm-mm.
Not on any other student, but him. The older brother does it to the younger brother. Wow. So, continuously, the older brother will move from his class and then go and call the younger brother from his class and, tell the teacher, "My brother, I'm taking my brother to the washroom to wee-wee." And then he will go and be pulling his, I mean, penis and all that in the washroom.
Serious.
And it went on for a while until one day the cleaner caught them. So we called their parents. The man was sad. The father was very sad. So after carefully chatting, probing, going deeper with him as a counselor, then he came out to say, okay. He invited his brother's son to stay with them. he, as at then, he was like 13 years. And he left his boys, the older one, 7, the younger one, 4, with them. And chatting with the older one told him that the boy...
He came to introduce them.
Introduce the seven-year-old. Into it. So whenever the parents are not around, he goes to the washroom and then calls the 7-year-old. Mm-hmm. And that's it with him. So, and it gone on for like a year. They didn't know. So now the boy has also become addicted. Whenever he's there, he wants to. And to him, because the cousin was doing to him, the cousin, like our culture, brother. So to him, it's normal to do it to your brother.
Younger. Hey,
Asemaba. So we had to take them to, I had to take the boy to series of talking, counseling, until later the man came to sue by grace. I mean, he had to actually sack the boy from the house, the cousin.
Of course. No. I mean, they can't cohabit in the same room, under the same roof. No.
So sometimes parents, we assume that relatives cannot negatively influence their children.
Oh, but relative one, they have heard of instances.
Oh.
Rapes and all.
But they've been.
So there are cases. That one, there are cases.
This brings me to a very funny meeting that I had where we were discussing something like this and I... In the meeting, parent meeting, I mentioned that.
4 minutes. Oh, time is.
Let's see. In the meeting, I mentioned that. Oh, what becau I knew if we went to him, and then, the parent president, got up and told me, "Oh no, Abna mam, it's not like that. Abu be becau I knew if we went to him." I was trying to tell parents that sometimes those who hurt you are rather closer.
Close, yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, parents note that. Most behavior transfers, I mean, transfers through closeness, through bloodline. So please, we tell your children, we love our relatives, but some behaviors are not part of our home. Let your children know so that when certain behaviors come that are not what their children know, they can easily stand up and speak for themselves.
Yeah.
This will protect the relationships while protecting your children. Because only koye mistake okase, eko kan basa akrane de be kose me koye no.
Thank you.
So I'll end with this because of our time. Then we continue next week. Children must learn that they can love people without copying them.
Yeah.
They can love people without copying them. So, Brother Eben, I don't know if.
Time is an enemy in times like these when you have a lot to talk about. But it's a series. We are not ending it tonight. So, listeners, God willing, next week we'll be continuing. So, yeah, this is recorded. I have to do an upload last week and all. I've been so busy. I forgot, actually. So, I'll add this and upload all to spiritissues.info and then to the Telegram group as well. So, thank you for tuning in. And, you know, this topic this series we are on is a life changer for those who take it serious. Because you see, the season we are in, the enemy is not playing a soft game. He's playing it hard. He is out to destroy lives. He is out to break homes. He is out to, you know, these lifestyles are much more difficult to break when the person started that early. Because it becomes a real foundation in the person's life. There are people who couldn't marry because of some of these things. It destroyed their lives. They couldn't marry because of this. There are people who, I mean, other things. Virtually, their lives got derailed from the right path because of formative years, mistakes and errors and all that. So as parents... this is the season where we have to be extra vigilant. No, I keep telling people that to be a parent in this generation is more than a full-time job. All previous generations, yes, God bless them, they did their part as parents. But this generation, to be a parent, the combination of skills that you need to be learning. Because now, to be a parent with no knowledge in technology, forget it, you are in trouble. Your children will dribble you like something. Anyway, time is gone. God willing, next week we'll be continuing. Thank you for listening. This is Eben. The program is Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. Good night and God bless you.